Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick 'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Big Waz, a.k.a. Wazzy Landray. Nando is out on assignment today, but I'm here to give you guys a solo pod. There's a couple of things I want to touch on. I want to touch on the Succession finale, because I just think it's freaking, you know, excellent. The best show to me, to my mind, of the last, like, 5 years. Just an incredible accomplishment. Incredible show. HBO continues to be the standard for what TV and shit, man. I don't even think movies are reaching this standard, to be honest. Like, you know, you get your Marty movie, you get your Christopher Nolan movie, you know, even Soderbergh has like been like, fuck movies, I'm fucking with HBO, Netflix. Like, you get your Tarantino's gonna drop, Paul Thomas Anderson's gonna do something. Those things are big deals, and every now and again we get something like Tar that's crazy, but like the action is on TV, man. It's crazy to say that, especially how we grew up. where TV was just an afterthought. But the action's on TV. I want to talk quickly about the Succession finale. But first, man, yeah, Joe Byron, and the Democrats, as Nando and I predicted last time we talked to you guys about the debt ceiling, quote unquote, negotiation, they folded like a bunch of cheap suits. In the news, the concessions that they made is not going to get a lot of airtime because elite corporate media could give a fuck about any of this shit. And to them, this seems like, oh, this is compromise. This is government working. When the Democrats, for no reason whatsoever, decide that these dudes have some type of leverage and we should be negotiating with them. And yeah, man, one of the casualties of this freaking debt ceiling negotiation, they've imposed new work requirements on SNAP recipients. They've added more bureaucratic hurdles for those who still qualify. The consequence of this is that, again, the poorest, most vulnerable Americans among us are going to be kicked off of these SNAP rolls immediately. And then a lot of them are going to have to go through a lot of red tape in order to get back on the SNAP rolls. Of course, SNAP is essentially the last of any real social welfare that we have for poor and working poor people. Somehow, incredibly, amazingly, we're still playing the welfare game with people where we pretend that the country is somehow going broke or is bankrupt, or I don't even know what they're using to justify this shit, or people are lazy or any of this crap, as a reason to be cruel to working people and poor people. But here we are. They're the first people on the chopping block again. I mean, I don't want to sort of litigate all of the things that were said last week, but this debt ceiling, quote unquote, fight, ones that the Democrats never wage when they are the majority in the House and it's a Republican president. That's a one. If they were actually using this shit on their own end to get stuff for people, then I'd be like, you know what? This is the game and such is life. The show goes on, but they don't. They never do this. They never, ever, 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 ever do this. So that's a one. And then two, they just didn't have to. This is the kind of thing you call these people's bluff, where SNAP program, again, that is not bankrupting the country. Remember, folks, me and Nando sort of had a great laugh about it, but a story came out in the New York Times that, and I know we talked about this, but it's worth mentioning again. A story came out in the New York Times that, the military industrial complex got shook that Ukraine funding might get tied up in this debt ceiling fight. And then like this. The fucking Pentagon comes out and says, oh, due to some accounting error, that they found $3 billion in the couch cushions. They're like, oh, it was just an accounting error. Yo, we messed that up. Like, yeah, we found three extra billion. We just have it. Just like that. This isn't even a news story. It's not like something that's going to like lead the New York Times or Washington Post or MSNBC or CNN, and obviously not Fox News or any of the like sort of commercial corporate media entities. It's just something that people take for like as just normal. It's just a given. The Pentagon is capable of finding $3 billion in the couch cushions. An accounting error is literally, I'm not saying this as some like euphemism, y'all, like that they just, no, that's what they said it was. I'm not like joking. I'm not like being funny here. Like, they literally said it was an accounting error in their audit, and they actually have $3 extra billion that somehow wasn't accounted for, right? And so you see how it goes, like, with the shit that's actually important to these fucks. It's just easy. It's just like that. They can find their Ukraine money to go pay out, you know, Raytheon, go pay out Halliburton, go pay out whoever it is, Boeing, go pay out whoever it is that gets paid. Nando so beautifully put it. It's literally a wealth transfer from our government, from the federal government, to these private actors in these private military industrial complex companies. And then, you know, whatever, Ukrainian homies will get something. They'll get some weapons. And then we'll send some direct aid to Ukraine, which, look it up, folks, it's some corrupt-ass actors that are going to be in charge of that. That shit ain't going to no Ukrainian people whose villages got bombed and all of that stuff. No, it's a kleptocracy over there, too. And yeah, and on and on and on it goes. And it doesn't matter, like, our country, like, a lot of times when we topple dictators in, like, the third world or whatever, or the global south or the developing world, whatever the fuck we're calling people who are not part of the Western sort of hegemon, we'll be like, yo, the reason we had to topple this democratically elected sort of left-leaning leader in Central America or South America somewhere is because, oh, that motherfucker was corrupt. You know what I mean? that dude is corrupt. We had to topple him. We CIA had to back the military coup. You know, even though their people democratically, and, you know, again, this is how we twist ourselves in knots with our bullshit foreign policy. This is why we have no credibility globally. I'm talking about anywhere. There is no credibility, and that was not always the case. We have no credibility because we'll invade Iraq and say, oh, no, Saddam Hussein's a dictator, blah, 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 democracy, yada, 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 yada. Meanwhile, you know, our best buddies are the Saudis, the Israeli regime, what they're doing to the Palestinians, turning Palestinians into second-class citizens, very anti-democratic. The list goes on and on. The amount of regimes that we back that have nothing to do with democracy, that are corrupt as fuck. However, when some dude in, say, Honduras or some other place is democratically elected and he has some level of leftward leanings, we'll topple his ass and be like, oh, he was corrupt. Oh, he was taking money. Oh, he was doing this. And Ukraine, trust me, this is not like, this isn't conjecture. Like, there's tons of corruption going on over there. But there's no way the people in our government are going to tell Raytheon and the rest of those boys that they don't get to enjoy windfalls from federal dollars. No different than SNAP, y'all. Like, that's why I'm bringing it up. Like, you might think to yourself, like, why is he talking about the military in relation to SNAP? I'm just saying, like, government largesse, okay? That's what it is. It's wealth, our money, federal dollars, wealth going to private actors. These are citizens, individuals, private people, okay? This is not going back into our economy. This isn't going into, say, you know, like a Build Back Better or some shit where it's like we're pouring government dollars into making better roads, bridges, you know, green energy that the public is like public utilities, you know, parks, whatever you want, whatever it is, public housing, you name it. We're not taking federal dollars that go into, you know, stuff that we all get to use. No, this is wealth being transferred directly to private actors. And what these fucking assholes will have you think is that this SNAP program stuff is the same thing. Mind you, you'll never hear it described as such on your cable shows, like, you know, or the Sunday shows like Face the Nation or Meet the Press or any of that stuff where serious political dialogue happens. They will never describe that $3 billion or whatever the fuck it is in aid that we're sending to the Ukraine. They will never describe that as a wealth transfer, right? It's not like those companies, those military companies, excuse me, those defense weapons manufacturing companies are government owned. They are privately owned. They have contracts with our government. Okay. And so therefore the government, their business is sustained by the fact that the government gives them billions upon billions upon billions of dollars, private actors. Okay. And how they would describe the punk ass SNAP program, which isn't nearly enough to help people. Okay. Again, you can look up what the wages are of some of the jobs that people have to take in our country, in our economy, who aren't lucky enough to be like me and Nando and have these fucking nice ass, fancy ass white collar jobs, or have a really good government job, like say, you know, MTA in New York, or even fuck it, NYPD and FDNY. Like, these are great government jobs, incredible benefits, competitive salaries as far as wages are concerned. All of that good stuff. Pension, which is the big one. All of that stuff. We're talking about people who have to take menial work because they got to make ends meet. And this little bit of assistance that we give them. Again, this idea of adding on a work requirement. As if the SNAP program is so much bread that these people could look around and say, yeah, fuck work. You know, I could just live off of, I can subsist on whatever the government gives me. There are not very many places in America where you could get by where, you know, people are paying $500 rents. People are paying $700 rents. There's not very many places in America where this shit exists, y'all. And so again, how they would sell this fucking cut to pass this debt ceiling shit to pay bills that we've already accrued. This isn't new spending. This is shit that we've already committed to paying. They say, oh, that has to be on the chopping block. Then, of course, I have to open up the front page of my New York Times website. And they're like, oh, this shit might get held up in the Senate after the House that did what they did, you know, cruelty at its finest, punching down and kicking people while they're down, the most vulnerable people in our population. I open up my New York Times and they talking about, yeah, one of the conditions got to be that they end the pause on student loan debt payments. Mind you, these aren't even private actors. You dig? These aren't the debt is owed to our government. Again, the richest entity in the history of mankind. Just remember that. Just keep that in mind when they bring this up. And so yeah, these are the things that are on the chopping block that the Dems, Joe Biden and his cohort, felt like, you know, are insignificant enough. Either one, they think it's too insignificant to call these fools bluff and fight them on, or two, they agree. They're like, hell yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been time that these lazy bastard Gen Z millennial lazy fuckers, it's about time they get back to paying their student loan debt. Because if you take out a debt, you got to pay it. Blah, 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 blah. Unless you, you know, you're some rich fucking, then you can go bankrupt and not have to pay your creditors and blah, blah, blah. It's pathetic. But why should we be surprised? We've said it here a million times already. The Democratic Party will not save you. It's not going to happen. It is just not going to fucking happen. The only thing that is going to bear results for the people of this country is collective action, organizing around common cause issues, shit that is afflicting everyone, i.e. the cost of healthcare, the cost of housing, you name it. Those are the two big ones right now. But yeah, obviously we need better wages, so wage increases, all of that shit. Those are the big three: wages, healthcare, housing. those are the most important issues facing us as a people right now. And unless we organize around those issues.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks, that's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry stays alive. Prize Picks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account. This football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. And you're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
And literally nothing else. Like, I'm sorry, there's not a lot of shit that can get oxygen if you want to. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Some of these, like, culture war shit that people want to die on, like that people want to like die on the cross for, I don't see how it gets oxygen if, you know, collectively we move towards actually challenging the status quo on those 3 basic fucking needs. Anyway, that's our update on the Democratic Party, Joe Biden. They all hate us. Succession, man. What an incredible 4 seasons. What an incredible show. I know it's early. This immediately, for me, immediately jumps into The Wire, Sopranos, Mad Men category for me immediately. Why do I say that? One, there was absolutely nothing funnier on TV in the time that this show was on. Nothing funnier. 2, the fucking level of acting performances on this show. I know Jeremy Strong and his method acting shtick wears a lot of people thin, some of the interviews he gives. And, you know, I love that Brian Cox made fun of him in several of his own interviews and all of that. But the acting performances on this show, from Brian Cox to Sarah Snook to Kieran Culkin, like on down to the sort of supporting cast of characters, next level. It's on the level. And 3, I mean, for me, like, the sort of bigger, larger themes that the show is attacking about inheritance, about what do we pass on to the people around us, what gets handed to us, and literally inheritance of a company, of money, of legacy, incredible. And then last but not least, as you guys know, because of the topics that we talk about every single week on this show, just how ghoulish, utterly destructive petty, not that talented, not very brilliant our overlords are. Just how craven, ghoulish the lords of capital are. Like, if this show has one mission statement, it's to set out to explain to you the gross incentives of the system and what those incentives do to the people who are at the steering wheel of the system. And it begs the question of, why the fuck are we okay with this collectively? I mean, we can go into why. You know, my man Danny says, relatively cheap food and entertainment. People ain't hungry. People can find ways to distract themselves. I mean, that's about as good as that's about as good in of a hypothesis as I've ever heard. But man, the way that this show just nailed on and drilled on those themes while being the funniest shit on TV, while delivering some of the most heart-wrenching scenes that I've ever seen on TV. Like that Tom and Shiv fight, holy fucking moly, right? And this is just stuff from this season. We don't even need to get into Lake Como and shit, where Kendall confesses to his siblings about killing the kid in the car crash. You know, Logan telling them kids to their face that they're not serious people. And like, just so many, like the scene where Shiv sees her mom for the first time, Caroline, and they just exchanged looks of, are you pregnant? Yes, I am. Oh, no words spoken, just glances. This show is, it's in another stratosphere. I can't say that I'm sad that it's gone, honestly. I remember Chris Ryan asked me on our pre-cap show for The Ringer if I would be sad when this was gone. This is like the first episode. I was like, nah, because I got mad shit to watch. Like, I'm watching White House Plumbers, right? You know, I'm watching the joint on HBO where the lady killed her mistress's wife. You know, I'm watching Yellow Jackets. I'm watching a lot of stuff. I watched Beef. Incredible show, by the way. Wow. Blew me away. There's so much stuff to watch. No, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm lamenting it. And I'm going to go back to this and watch it again. This is going to be like The Wire and The Sopranos, where I rewatch this shit over and over again. Like, it's going to happen. The finale, like, y'all don't need to hear this from me. I thought it was fantastic. I'm not going to lie. Yes, I'm going to pat. This is the part where I pat myself on the back, where I correctly predicted. And this is not like, I've been predicting this shit for a while now. No kid was actually going to win. Like, no, like, by win, I mean run this company. I don't know. I wish I remember the exact moment that it flipped for me. But there was a moment watching the show. It might have been season three, maybe halfway through season three. It might have been at some point in season two, where I finally realized that Logan was not the villain and that the kids were. And that the idea that he should just be handing them his fucking company that he built from scratch, that he put his blood, sweat, and tears into, that he should just give it to them just because they came out of his nutsack. Like, there was a point where it flipped for me where, like, these kids, like, there's no justification. They have no justification for this shit. They can't justify their entitlement at all. And once that switch flipped for me and I realized, it's not that Logan's the hero, but the actual villains are these three shithead kids. It put the show into crystal clear vision for me. And like, I just saw the show differently. I started noticing that like every single conversation that people in the business world have with these kids they're completely condescending them. They all think they're shitheads. They all talking down to them. They all think they're full of shit and worthless and useless. And it just was validating how I felt about these kids. And so I just knew the finale was not going to end with Kendall ascending to his father's seat and he's going to lead them into the future. It's like, no, there's going to be a bunch of backbiting. And I, you know, y'all can check the tapes. Go listen to the Prestige TV podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. The last pod that I did with Rob Mahoney, he said, what's the prediction? I said, Siobhan's going to help push Kendall out the company. And Manson's going to shut her out. And that's going to be life. That's it. Life goes on. But again, some of the themes, man, again, like this idea of entitlement, right? Especially when you're dealing with the scions of billionaire titans of industry, right? Like, there's the entitlement that they grew up with, but then there's the actual entitlement. Like, they act, these, a lot of these motherfuckers actually are entitled to this thing that their parents owned. Like, they're entitled to now, they're gonna get to do what they want with it. You know, take it into real life. Bob Myers just stepped down as president and GM of the Golden State Warriors. It's announced immediately after. Owner Joe Lacob, his kids are going to be promoted within the organization. Right? So I don't know those dudes personally. I'm sure they're hard workers and I'm sure they're pretty competent. But there's an entitlement that you grow up with when you're rich and everything is handed to you. But then you're actually entitled. Like, you actually get these things handed to you. Like, you actually do. Like, it actually happens. And the show deals with the consequences of that reality when it comes to the ruling class and their fucking asshole kids who they pass this ruling to, you know? Just incredible, incredible stuff. And again, of course, the show is validating my own worldview about these fucking bastards. And so, of course, I acknowledge my own biases as to why I think this is an incredible show. It's in line with how I already feel about the world. But The Craft, you can't deny it. HBO put a bunch of money into sending these people to beautiful locations. Like, everything you want in a TV show, visually, stylistically. Again, the writing, the acting, the story. It's top notch, man. Just an incredible, incredible finale. When people say, oh, why did Shiv do that? It's obvious. She just couldn't stand seeing that motherfucker win. It's just, no, anybody but him. It's just obvious. She's like, oh, I can't have it? No, it definitely can't be him. No, it's going to make me sick. I'm already sick that I'm not going to have it. It's going to make me sicker to watch Kendall's bitch ass have it. No, fuck that. I will not abide by it. To borrow a category, unanswerable question from Rewatchable, shouts to Bill and the whole crew. Since the deal goes through and they did that deal with Nan Pierce and them, don't they still have to do AGN? Don't they now own that shit outright? Like, I haven't seen that in any of the recaps, like episodes that I've listened to. Shouts to Chris and Andy. Go check out what they just talked to the showrunner, Jesse Armstrong, on our shit on The Watch on the Ringer Podcast Network. I read a bunch of, recaps from Vulture to us to all. Like, nobody brought up the fact that, like, yo, the sale goes through. These guys are billions of dollars richer, which means, like, that other sale, the first one, with the Pierces and all of them, like, don't they own that now? Can't they just go run that into the ground, might I add? Yeah, just incredible, incredible, incredible stuff. Anyway, that's our show for today. Make sure you guys become a Patreon, patreon.com/countthedings. That's how you support all this incredible content that we try to put out for you guys every single week. Check out all the other Count the Dings offerings as well. Fernando Vila, my brother John Gervais on the ones and threes. I'm Big Waz. We'll see you guys next week. Peace out.